Morning. You have, I'm sure, seen and heard about, and I know many of you have turned in a vision questionnaire. Your shepherds are going to be meeting in the near future to be talking about the future of our congregation. And if you stop and think about it, as an individual, if an individual has no plans and no goals, what happens? You know, as a family, just a biological family, if your family has no plans, no goals, what happens? And so the same thing is for this church family, our congregation. If we have no plans, no goals, then we're going to flounder. So we know that we will teach the truth. We'll always teach the truth. The question is, what do we want to reach for? What do we want to strive for? What do we want to plan our goals? So we appreciate all that have turned in and given feedback to help your elders, your shepherds, to make plans for our future. I also want to mention before we get into the lesson today that one of our men, Ted Cheney, turned 95 this past week. 95. I think if you turn 95, you ought to be recognized. So that's an amazing thing. And Ted Cheney is the father of Judy Cheney, and his son-in-law John Clark normally brings him, and so they typically sit on the back in the middle. So when you see them in the future, go shake Ted's hand and tell him how impressed you are. Ask him some question. Think up some question that a 95-year-old person, you know, they ought to be able to shed some light on. All right, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to talk this morning about our differences and about involvement. And Kenny, I appreciate Kenny setting the stage for us this morning, getting things kicked off. In doing so, we're going to answer the question, why did God make us? More specifically, why did He make you? Why did He make me? Each one of us. What's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? All of those things. So we'll get all of that covered. Romans 12, we'll start with verse 3. And we have two passages. One's in Romans, one's in 1 Corinthians, both chapter 12. So they're kind of mirror passages about us as Christians and our differences and how God's made us and how He wants us to be connected. So verse 3 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." So this kind of sets the stage for what we're getting into. And Paul, setting the stage, he says, let's first recognize we need humility. We need to not think of ourselves more than we should. We tend to think of ourselves from our strengths, right? But Paul says, think with sober judgment. He doesn't say from your strength. He says, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So that's a whole different mindset, isn't it? Let's think about it from what God has done. But don't you agree we need more humility in our world? We need more humility in our church. We need, you know, lest you be thinking of someone else, as I mentioned, humility. We need more, each one of us needs more humility, don't we? Verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So Paul's going to use the analogy of the human body. You have one body that God gave you. You didn't make it. You didn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. You didn't deserve it. Right? Typically, we're never fully thrilled with the body God gave us. Right? There's something we wish was a little different. But, nevertheless, we're not talking about that today. You have one body, but your body has multiple parts. So you have multiple, but one. And that's going to be the theme that we deal with today. Multiple, different, but one. It actually amazes me. When you think of robotics and the creation of robots, To create a robot to walk on two legs is not the easiest thing in the world. The fact that we at a young age can walk on two legs, God made us to where this thing works together. It doesn't start out that way. The baby, the newborn's arms and legs are not coordinated, right? At all. It's hard to simulate that, actually. Because as you get older, your body just works together. So that's the analogy. But the point to start with is that we are different. We are different. But look at the end of this. We are members one of another. New Century translates that each part belongs to all the other parts. In the church, you belong to the church. Well, okay, that's one thing. But to say that you belong to the rest of us, that's a little different. You belong as a member of Christ's body. You belong to the others. And some of that is going to involve responsibility. But we belong to each other. All right, verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us. So right off the bat, we're back to humility. You're good at certain things. But it's not yay for you or good on you or that's impressive or wow, you're amazing. It's wow, God is amazing. He's the one that gave that to you. All right, so according to the grace given us, let us use them. And now Paul will go into a list and a variety here. So prophecy, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, this list is probably non-miraculous. And prophecy had an element in which the prophet could tell the future by God, which is miraculous. But in its pure sense, prophecy just means speaking the truth. And so in this context, it would in particular, preaching. Okay, if service, in your serving. If the one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. Exhort means to encourage, but it means to encourage in a sense of urging. To spur one another on. It's that kind of encouragement. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Do you see yourself in that list? Now that list is not complete. It's not exhaustive. It doesn't have everything. But it does have a good variety. Before you leave here today, you need to know that God has given you some abilities, some talents, some gifts to you for the body. So we have this list here, and we have differences, and so in that sense we have diversity. We are a diverse group of people, but it's not diversity like we typically hear it in our society. It's diversity. It's not that you're different because you chose to be different. This is diversity that God chose. Make sense? It's not that, well, some here like this, and some here like that, and some like these things. It's not you, it's God. This is God's diversity. But we're the same. And then at the end here, having gifts. So we have these gifts. Paul's point is, let us use them. All right, let's flip to 1 Corinthians 12. So a similar passage. In 1 Corinthians, Paul will list some gifts, and those are miraculous. Those miraculous gifts ceased soon after the first century, and so we don't still lay hands on and heal or speak in tongues, those type things. But the concept applies. We do still have gifts and abilities and talents that God has given us. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:4 says there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. So we have variety, but we have the same. We are different. God made us different, but we're unified. Our theme this year, one body. So we're one body, unified, but we're different, and God likes that. He made us that way. So it's a little bit, you know, the terms almost contradict. Either things are different or the same. Which is it? And it's both. But it's our differences, as you can imagine, which make it hard to be one, to be unified. So So we're different, but we're the same. Now, notice this. We have a variety of gifts, variety of service, variety of activities. Gifts would be what God has given us that is different. You're good at certain things. God made you that way. Okay. Service would be us using those gifts. It's what happens when you use it. You're active in using your gift. Activities is what God does. Some translate the word activities here effects or workings. So it is God doing the working. So when you take what God has given you and you use it and then you put in what God's doing, that's a good thing. And that's what Paul is saying here. I had a conversation recently with the parents of their daughter who plays softball. She's played a couple years. This is her third year. She's good. She's talented. They are on a new team this year because they said previously they didn't feel great about the instruction that she was getting from the coaches on a previous team. Most of the players weren't really, you know, there may have been ability, but there wasn't effort or desire, okay, to practice, to put forth 100%. And so you think about sports, take that as an example. If you have one player that has a lot of ability but not much desire, or a lot of ability and desire but not very good coaching, you take a whole team of that, you don't have much. But what if you have a player who has some ability and desire and good coaching? You have something. Now what if you have a whole team of that? And that's what God is saying for the church. That's what this is saying here. So verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Has God given you unique talents, abilities, gifts? I'll ask it again, and you can talk. This is where you say something. Has God given you unique talents, abilities, gifts? Each one of you. Because there may be some here that's thinking, yes, as you look around the room, not so much your own self. Right? You need to know, as a child of God, as a Christian, God has given you something. It's unique. It's good. Call it a gift. Call it a talent. Call it ability. It's from God. You have it. You have something. Everyone does. No one is left out. Make sense? So we all have gifts. And I have to pause for a minute because in our language, in our world, when we say someone is gifted, the way we use the word gifted, we're talking about in a special way. Okay? So, had a talent show last night. Brian Tribble is a gifted musician. And if you were there last night, you saw that. That's not normal. Not everyone can do what he does. It's enjoyable to watch. Certain people, we would say, from my day and age growing up, it's Michael Jordan. Gifted athlete. Okay? Not everyone's like that. We might say someone is a gifted artist. What that means is they have this ability and they're set apart. Well, in the church, when we say gifted, everyone is gifted. Okay? In something. And so it's not like how we typically use that word. So, why are we gifted? Why did God give us gifts? For the common good. In other words, for someone else's benefit. So it's an interesting thought to stop and think. God gave me something, not for me. He gave me something for you. He gave you something for me. Right? The body, the church. He gave you something for the big group. For the common good. When you don't find your place to be involved serving within your church family, you're withholding something God gave you that He intended to be a blessing to your church family. Let me say that again. When you don't find your place to be involved serving within your church family, you are withholding something God gave you that He intended to be a blessing to your church family. That's an entirely different thought than a model of doing church, and I'll just call it doing church, that we inherited from religious groups generations ago, which is you have the clergy and you have the laity. Right? You go back far enough, the clergy studies this. I'm talking far, Middle Ages. Clergy studies this, laity doesn't. Right? Clergy does church things, laity come, sing, contribute. God's model is entirely different. God gave each of us something to be put to be used in the body. All right, verse 8. So here we have the list. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. So these would be miraculous things. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, variety, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And verse 11 says, all these empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each individually as He wills. So, we no longer have the miraculous version, so to speak, but God still has gifted us in a variety of things that are for the blessing of the whole. All right, look at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So we have this same idea kind of repeated. We're different, but we're one. What is it that has unified us? And this is important because there are going to be times we don't want to be one. There are going to be times we don't like each other. Or maybe we don't like somebody. Or we don't like how somebody did something. There may be a time that the leadership says, folks, we feel and believe and prayerfully have decided we need to go this direction. Not truth. I'm talking about how we do things. And you may feel like, I don't like that. That's not how I would have done it. What bonds us is this. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. We have a God who sent His Son to die for all of us. That bonds us. We have the same Father. We have the same Spirit. When a person enters the church, they're baptized into the church. We are all baptized into the church. One body. Baptized into. That's when it happens. And when that happens, if you're a baptized Christian, when you entered by one Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That unifies us. Look at verse 14. We're going to have a couple passages here that talk about ways that we don't like, that we could be disunified. Okay? So we're different. And it's two different ways that we could be, that Paul talks about, that we could be disunified. Here's one way. He says, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. What's happening here is envy. Paul's saying, if a member looks at another one and says, well, I don't have what they have, I guess they're important. I guess I'm not important. Since I don't have what they have, I can't do what they can do. I must not be important. Well, count me out. And Paul is saying, just because you wish you had what someone else had doesn't mean you're not important, and it doesn't mean you're not a part of the body. We are different, and we need all of us. Amen? All right, verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chose. Why are you here at this church family. We probably have different answers for that, but could it be that God wants you here at this church family? God arranged the members of the body, at each one of them, as He chose. If not that, we do know for certain what you have, gift-wise, talent-wise, ability-wise, that's what God gave you. If God wanted you to be just like Greg Foster, He would have made you just like Greg Foster. You can't do everything Greg can do. He can't do everything you can do. So we are as we are because God made us that way. And that's a reminder, even to something that might be more or less spiritual, like your body that God gave you. If there's something you don't like about it, be careful. Be careful complaining about that. It's like somebody gave you a car, a used car. They gave it to you. You didn't pay for it, and then you gripe about it. This is what God gave us. Now think about that. If we don't like everything about the body God gave us. All right, verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? Everyone is not like you. Everyone is not like me. I have to remind myself that, because I tend to think everyone thinks like I do. I tend to think everyone looks at things like I do. I think, well, hey, I think this is good. Everyone ought to think it's good. I think this is a better way. Everyone ought to think it's a better way. Everyone's not like me. If you're married, you ought to know that by now, even if you're newlyweds. Everyone's not like you. And that's good. And that may be the harder part. Right? Somebody's different from me, and that's good. So an analogy is this, and I don't know who first said this, but I love this statement. It's about marriage. And it says, God didn't make a woman to do everything a man can do. He made a woman to do everything a man cannot do. And the longer I think of that, the more profound that is, especially in our world today. We come out of a history where men in our society abused, I'll use that word, dominated, took advantage of, held back, whatever you want to say, women. They did it through power. But now we've come to a place where the world is trying, our world in America is trying to say men and women are exactly the same. We're very different. And the idea that, well, everything a boy can do, a girl can do, everything a man can do, a woman can do, we're totally missing the point. And the point's pretty good. That God, when He made Eve, He didn't make her to do everything Adam could do. He already had that model. He already had that golf club. If you got a driver, you don't need 13 more drivers. You need a wedge. Anybody understand golf? Been a long time since I played golf, by the way, Bob. I just want you to know that. Tom Cotting. Okay. We are different, and it is good. Now, verse 20. Let's get to the other side of how we might look at someone who's different and get frustrated. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. So here we have, it's kind of like earlier where one part was envious of another and they thought, well, I must not be important. This is the opposite. This is a part that thinks I'm important and what you have is not important. We really don't even need you. So I'll use the analogy, you know, Bob is talented in song leading. He is talented and gifted in shepherding. Anita, let's think about Anita. Anita is one of our greeters, and she's good at it. She's gifted in that. When you come and walk in a church building and you see someone, a smiling face and a warm greeting, somebody open the door, that's a good thing. Now, Anita might think to Bob, she might, like this is saying, kind of minimize, Bob's gifts. I mean, she could say song leading. I mean, Bob, you just start the song. You know, we sing along. It's like happy birthday. You ever had a hard time singing happy birthday? Somebody starts it. Everybody sings. She could think, you know, she could minimize his role, but he could do the same for her. I mean, he could say, Anita, you're opening a door. How hard is it? You say, you know, good morning. Okay. So we could easily look at what God has given someone else and think, big deal. You know, they're not that important here. Or we could envy and look at someone and say, well, I guess I'm not important since I can't do A, B, and C. But the truth is, we're all important. I want to close with Ephesians 2:8 and then mention one more thing. Ephesians 2:8 gives us this answer for why God made us. It says, For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We don't do a lot of works and impress God and get let in the kingdom. Okay? We are allowed in the kingdom. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But when we're in the kingdom, God says, get to work. That's why I made you. Created for good works. God did not create us to enjoy life to its fullest. Now think about that for a minute. Come and argue with me later if you want. You may change my mind. I doubt it. God did not create us to enjoy life to its fullest. That sounds wrong. It sounds un-American. Because in our American DNA is, I'm going to get the most out of this life. But do you hear the selfishness there? I'm not saying God is against you enjoying life. I'm saying that's not why He made you. He made you for good works, to serve others, for the common good, to be about the kingdom. All right, I want to close and highlight a couple things. We here believe in involvement and the body working together so much, we have a deacon of involvement. Okay? And Kenny kicked things off this morning. Appreciate what Kenny does. He made a comment recently. He said, I would imagine 80% of the church is not aware of about half, 50% of what could be done around here. Things that could be done. And so we have a member involvement booklet. We talked about that at the beginning. It's on the homepage of the website. You can fill it out on the website if you want to. Submit it online, and that will trigger the process of some follow-up helping you to get involved. You can go to Kenny and say, Kenny, I'd like to meet with you sometime, and will you help me, show me what I might could do? I don't know what to do, but I want to be involved. We have hard copies at the website of this involvement form that you can take home. Look at it. It'll show you things maybe you hadn't thought of. Two more things. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Come to one of the shepherds. Come to me. Come to Keith, also a shepherd. Come to Kenny. Come to someone and say, hey, I want to get plugged in. I just don't know how. And then lastly, members, thank you. You know, in typical churches, 20% do 80% of the work. I don't know if you've ever heard that. 20% of the people are pulling most of the load. We are abnormal because we have about an 80% involvement rate here. And I want to brag on you for that. Those who are using your gifts and serving and working and glorifying God, thank you. God is glorified by that. But if you are, reach out, think of someone else and help them to get involved. All right, we're going to have a song in a moment, an opportunity. We're going to stand. And if there's something that you need that's on your heart this morning, we'd love to help you with it. If there's a prayer we can offer for you, if there's one here this morning who wants to give their life to Christ and have their sins washed away, we'd love to help you with that. So if there's a need that you have, please come while we stand and sing. Everybody's good.
Jesus calls the reaper.